much time left in this year. Was it a good one for you? Where does it go? How do you sign it up? Where do you assign it on the list of places or years that have gone into the books? Well, for the United States government, there have been some high points and some low points for sure. But I think one of the high points is the newest division of the United States military, the newest branch of the United States military, the Space Force, officially created and established. Join me to discuss that, Frank Vernuccio, Editor-in-Chief of the New York Analysis of Policy and Government. Frank, welcome back.
Steve, it's good to be with you again.
Space Force. I mean, is this really something we need, this Space Force? Why would we need such a thing?
Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, of course, most of our military and a good part of our economy is dependent on our space assets. Unfortunately, that was a great thing when the United States had a near monopoly on the near-Earth orbit. However, over the past several years, Russia, China, and in fact, apparently some others as well, have now have the capability to shoot our satellites right out of orbit. China and Russia particularly are quite adept at this capability. If they did so, the United States military, Steve, could be left deaf, dumb, and blind.
So as we talk about this, I've heard reports that the Chinese have created what we would call, I suppose, cruisers and battleships of a sort that will be in orbit around the Earth. I would find it hard to believe that the United States is not prepared itself for something of that nature. I have to believe and assume that we as a country have prepared for that, as we have prepared to deal with this new weapon from the Russians that goes 27 times the speed of sound. Your thoughts?
Well, we certainly have the ability, just as the Russians and the Chinese do, to shoot satellites out of orbit. However, the dependence of the United States military on space is much heavier than either Russia or China. So we are left far more vulnerable in that crucial arena. As well, the development of the Space Force is not so much about a particular weapon. It's about coordinating the weapons and the strategies we already have. You might recall, Steve, during the Second World War, the United States Air Force, what we now call the United States Air Force, was part of the Army. In some ways, it didn't work as well as if it had been an independent force. Now, with the advent of the United States Space Force, we're going to see more coordinated strategies, better use of the assets that we already have.
I see. So, I mean, this is the next logical step, I suppose, because as you pointed out, if the low-orbit satellites and the communication satellites for weather, even for domestic purposes like you and I getting our weather, or for the military, or for communications, or for internet information, whatever it may be, it could all be quickly turned dark, I suppose, if we do not defend those things as we should, right? I mean, if you don't defend those satellites and they're taken out of orbit, it could throw the world, not just the military world, but the entire world into chaos, and not just us, but people around the world, correct?
That's exactly right. That's why, just as you said, this is the most logical step to take. It is rather surprising, of course, that it faced such resistance in Congress. To some extent, it was party politics, which we've certainly seen enough of in 2019. But for the most part, it was accepted that it was at some point going to occur. Some other presidents basically reviewed the idea, but as in so many other things, Steve, ideas that have been lingering but not been put into place were in fact put into place by this presidency.
Now, let me ask you something. I want to shift gears a little bit with you. The Space Force is out there. We'll see where that goes. Obviously, resources being dedicated, and that's a big story for 2019 heading into 2020. Frank Vernuccio here. I want to ask you this, Frank. As you look at 2020, I just did a list here, and I'm going to share it in hour number two here with everybody, a comprehensive list of the top 10 problems that Democrats have going into 2020. Well, when you hear that, when you think about the problems facing the Democrats after all the things that have gone in 2019, they entered the year with all this promise, all this opportunity. They had retaken the House. They had all this momentum, of which they've done nothing with it, I can tell. What are the biggest problems facing the Democrats in 2020? And in your estimation, I know it's kind of a pop quiz, but I know you'll do well. What are your thoughts?
The fact that while in control of the United States House of Representatives, they did next to nothing because they concentrated almost solely on impeachment. Now, after the impeachment vote was taken, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, allowed, finally, the Democrats to actually do the people's business, pass the USMCA trade act, but very, very little has been done by this Democrat Congress. In fact, the only thing they accomplished besides the impeachment was roadblocking things that really needed to get done. So in the perception of the voters, they look at a party that is, well, I don't know any polite way to say this, but basically drunk with power and hatred for their Republican opponents. During the 2016 primary period, in a Democrat Party debate, Hillary Clinton was given a softball question, and she was asked, who do you consider the enemy? Now, she could have said Russia or China or disease or poverty or racism. What she said was Republicans. And that, unfortunately, has set the tone for exactly what the Democrats have done in control of the House of Representatives. They don't see the people's business as their business. They see partisan party politics as their business. And that is the single biggest challenge they face going into the 2020 elections.
All right. Now I'm going to put that on my list here. Just making a quick note here about the list, because I have a whole host of things here that I think are problematic for the Democrats, and some things that I think are good for the president, like the economy is good for the president. Bernie Sanders, bad for Democrats as a whole. John Durham could be that dark horse, big problem for the Democrats. And this whole list of things that I'm looking at in 2020, because here we stand on the cusp of 2020. If the election were held today, Frank, Donald Trump would win in a walkaway. Just no question.
And the reason for that is that the mainstream Democratic Party seems to have abandoned, oddly enough and politically weird enough, its core constituency. Look, for example, at the record that President Trump has had with minority voters, black and Latinos having the lowest unemployment rate in history. The Democrats have opposed most of the measures that accomplish that. So in that sense, they've abandoned their core constituency. Their position on basically, unfettered illegal immigration is a direct economic hit at the poorest Americans. Again, another core constituency of the Democratic Party. Blue-collar workers. Recently, Joe Biden, I believe, said that he would knock down the coal industry. Blue-collar workers, again, a great core constituency of the Democratic Party. It's as though the party is attempting to commit suicide by abandoning all of its traditional supporters and clinging only to, millennials and the sort of the college intellectual crowd. But there aren't enough of them, fortunately for the country, to really sway the election.
Well, there you go. Frank Vernuccio, good to have you here. Greatly appreciated. Frank Vernuccio, editor-in-chief of the New York Analysis Policy and government. Frank, always look forward to talking to you, and I'll talk to you in the new year.
Steve, to you and your listeners, Happy New Year.
There you have it. It's 41 after. Impeachment remains unpopular across the country, more so in swing states like Michigan and Wisconsin. More about that after the break. You're on the Steve Gruber Show.
When it comes to planning for your future, you want an advisor who understands your Christian values. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles offers financial planning based on biblical principles. He can help you plan for your goals in a way that is consistent with your faith. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial provides financial services without regard to religious affiliation or cultural background. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.